Do you ever do that? Do you ever just look around at what God's blessed you with and who God's blessed you with and think to yourself, why in the world would God be so good to me? Never one time have I looked around and thought, I deserve this. I deserve my wife and I deserve my children. I deserve my church. No, it's every bit a gift from God. Amen. They still folks praying. Take your time. You're okay. Thank you, Brother Todd. Take your Bible and turn to Psalms 127. Psalms 127. We will, Lord willing, we'll end a series of messages I've been bringing for this will be the fourth Sunday. I've been preaching on the home. And there's probably no subject more needed in America than this today. Amen. Amen. Our homes are in trouble. Marriages are on the verge of falling apart. Divorce is at an all-time high. Our children are a mess. Somebody help us. And I'm glad thousands of years ago God helped us. Amen. The help is not on its way. The help is here. Yeah. Everything you need for your marriage, your relationship, everything you need for your home and rearing your children is between the covers of this old black book right here. Amen. Thank God. If people would just open it and put their nose in it, and it's really a simple plan. Raising a family is not that complex a thing. Yeah. Amen. Somebody said, oh, raising children's complicated. No, it ain't. Not if you just follow the guidelines of this book. It's laid right out there for us, and all we got to do is do what God said. Amen. Yeah. Psalms 127, let's read the chapter together. The Bible said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. First Sunday, we preached on the construction of the home. The construction of the home. It's laid out for you perfectly right there in this verse in Psalms 127 and verse number 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Listen, if you've not got God at the foundation of your home, if He's not the head of your household, you're wasting your time. Amen. It's what the verse said. You're laboring in vain that build it. Amen. We've got to put God in His rightful place. Yes, I wonder how many of our homes would be in less of a mess than they're in today if we sought God's guidance in making some of the decisions we make. Amen. Especially some of these major purchases. Amen. Amen. We got families that are in financial ruin. Amen. 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 I was thinking about one of our men. And I don't know if he's here today or not. I'm looking around. I don't sound, wouldn't embarrass him, but he was in the home building business and doing quite well when the bottom fell out. And a bunch of our other friends got into the home. Everybody that had a hammer and a nail got in the home building business around here. Amen. And they were getting rich, or at least they thought they were. And they built elaborate houses and they bought vast amounts of land and high dollar vehicles. Well, this one builder who's in our church, he didn't do that. He stayed in his home. He stayed with moderate vehicles. Well, when that thing went over, all them guys lost all they had. He didn't. Amen. He didn't. Listen, man. I lost my whole train of thought right there. We're putting our emphasis on the wrong thing. God must build the home. God must build the home. He must be at the forefront. He must be in the center. Amen. We must seek Him. That's what I was talking about. We must seek Him in those major decisions in our life. And we must seek Him in raising our children. Amen. I remember when God gave us Ashley. She was our firstborn. Then Levi came along and then Katie. But every one of them, I'm like, God, I still haven't figured this out. I need help. I need your guidance. I need your leadership. In verse number 1, we talked about the construction of the home. In the last part of that verse, he said, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. What is a watchman? He is somebody who stands guard or stands watch over a house or a city. Second sermon was the contention for the home. Not only the construction of the home, but the contention of the home. If God gives you a good wife, sir, and God gives you children, listen, if they're going to make it, if your marriage is going to make it, you've got to be willing to fight for it. Amen. Amen. Let me say it again. You've got to be willing to fight for it. Yes, sir. Amen. Somebody's got to stand up in the house and say, not here. Amen. Not in this house. It ain't going to fly. Amen. In this house, hey, in this house, God is in charge. We okay? Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The man of the house made that decision. If there's anything lacking in America, it's men. Amen. I'd like to see some real men in America for a change. I got to spend some time with a few yesterday. Some men with a backbone. Some men with God in their heart. Listen, to be a Christian doesn't mean you have to be a sissy. Amen. To be a Christian doesn't mean you have to be passive all the time. Amen. There's sometimes we need to be aggressive. Yes, sir. Amen. God gave me two drop-dead gorgeous daughters. It would have been easier to have had ugly ones. Amen. We were coming out of church one Sunday morning and Katie was walking beside me and a guy came by on a motorcycle, about wrecked his motorcycle staring at my daughter. I started screaming at him right out in front of the church on Sunday morning with everybody. Hey, you pervert! I was ready. I was going to punch his lights out. Amen. Amen. Hey, God gave you a family. You need to stand up for what's right. I'm not going to re-preach the sermon, but men, get some guts about you. Get some backbone about you. Amen. Don't let your little baby girls run off with anything that comes down the road. Amen. I'd do a background check on them suckers. Amen. Amen. Get serious. The construction of the home, the contention for the home. And then last Sunday, we preached on the contentment of the home. You ever seen those signs that says home, sweet home? I've been to counseling appointments where the husband and wife are ready to claw each other's eyes out. They've already got them a lawyer. He's got a lawyer and she's got a lawyer. And you walk up on the porch and the doormat says, home sweet home. What an oxymoron, man. We've got people who come to church on Sunday with a smile on their face and shake the preacher's hands. Good to see you. How y'all doing? Oh, we're doing wonderful. And you cussed each other out all the way here. Amen. I would like to get this situation in our church where there's honey at the house. Where there's some sweetness in the relationship. Amen. Get to where there's some romance in the relationship. Not just two people who yell and scream at one another all the time. And by the way, you yell and scream at one another all the time, guess how your children are going to operate their home. Amen. It takes more than a man and a woman to have a marriage. It takes God, and it takes some love, and it takes compassion, and it takes understanding, it takes humility. Yes. Amen. Let me teach you the two greatest words in marriage. Y'all say them with me. I'm sorry. Some of y'all ain't liking that. Come on, class. Let's get it. I'm sorry. You learn those two words and learn to say them with feeling, it'll help you out. I had a man sitting in my office. He's, bless God, I ain't apologizing. I said, well, go ahead and throw in the towel, man. Amen. We're too full of pride. Amen. We're too full of pride. Pride is killing our homes. Yes. One of the hardest things to do is admit when you're wrong. Amen. I've apologized for things I didn't even do. I've apologized when I didn't know what I've done. Come on, men, help me out. If she's mad, it must be me. Surely it's not the angel darling children or the computer that won't work. If she's mad, it's me. Honey, I'm sorry. She says, for what? I say, whatever you're mad about. Well, what did you do? Don't ever admit. Don't ever say it. Amen. Happiness in the home. Did you know my wife and I have been married 28 years? And we still date? What got quiet on me? We still date. We went on two dates this week. Hallelujah. Now I know it's tough when the kids are little. Let me teach you two more words. Grandparents. Amen. If you're blessed to have grandparents near. Amen. I mentioned last Sunday, you know the commercial on TV where they bring the babies to the old man and woman, and the man's standing there holding the baby, and they're jumping into cabbies. Don't leave the baby. No, leave the babies. Amen. Two dates a week. I don't do it every time, but most time I still open the car door from her. Amen. I have a secret. I have a motive behind that. When I open the car door and she gets in, she's real easy to kiss right there. Amen. Yeah. Happiness in the home. Is there happiness in your home? Amen. Is it an enjoyable place? Do your children dread daddy coming home from work? Do they dread getting off the school bus, what kind of hell they may have to live in the rest of the day? They've been with friends all day laughing and cutting up and having a good time. Now they got to come home to a fight. Home should be a haven. Amen. Home should be a refuge. Amen. It should be a safe place for your family, not a place of fear, not a place of stress. Let me tell you something. That don't just happen. It takes work. It takes work, and it also takes years of practice. Some of you knotheads are going to quit too soon. Take it from me, it gets better. We used to fight like cats and dogs. I mean, it was bad. You say, Sister Angie, oh, I could tell you. I've seen them green eyes turn blood red and smoke come out of her ears. No, I'm kidding. About smoke. Well, we never argue anymore. We figured out it ain't worth it. Amen? Happiness in the home. The construction of the home. The contention for the home. The contentment in the home. Now, lastly today, I want to talk about the children of the home. The children of the home. Let's finish reading the chapter. He said in verse number 2, it's vain for you to rise up early, sit up late, eat bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Verse number 3, look at it carefully. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Let's read that together again. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Let me say first of all, or talk to you just a little bit this morning about the desirability of children. The desirability of children. According to the scripture we just read, our children are not a penalty. They're not punishment. Amen. Everybody talks about their children like they're such a burden. God allowed you to take His creation and watch over it. Amen. Children are a heritage of the Lord. They are a gift from God. I used to have a cassette tape back when they made cassette tapes, and it was a bunch of old gospel songs that the hee-haw singers had done. Somebody gave it to me, and there was a song on there, and it was by an old black preacher man, and it starts off, he's just doing a recitation. He's at a funeral where a little boy had died, and he said, God didn't give you that baby by 10,000 miles. He said he just thought you needed some sunshine, so he lent him for a while. He said, and those old silver tears you're shedding, why, they just interest on the loan. You understand what I'm saying? That baby that you're holding in your lap, that's God's. And He allowed you to watch over it. What an honor. What an honor. We're living in a day when, I wouldn't bring a baby into this world. That's what society is trying to tell us. They're trying to get us like, is it China, where you can only have 1.2 kids or whatever it is, and if you have a baby, you got to go have it somewhere in secret and hiding. And man, they're trying to stop the creation of the race. Yeah. Or the procreation. They're trying to stop. Hey man, that's not God's plan. Amen. Somebody said, well, the earth is getting so crowded. Have you been to Mississippi? Go to Birmingham, Alabama, and take Highway 78 from Birmingham, Alabama, through Mississippi and into Arkansas. Tell me there ain't no room on this earth. You better have a full tank of gas, friend, because there ain't nothing out there. I was driving through there a while back going to preach somewhere, Brother Freddie, and they was talking on talk radio, and they had one of them, I just call him a Democrat. I feel if I smile like Joel Osteen, it'd be all right. Yeah. Talking about how we're overpopulated. And I'm looking out the window going, that lady ain't never been down through here. We ain't overpopulated, man. Don't worry, you ain't not gonna crowd us out. Have babies. The greatest way to grow a church. It's just make one. Are y'all okay? Oh, we're not going to have but one kid. Why? Deprive that kid of being beat up by his brothers? See, that's the world's philosophy. Oh, if you're going to have children, don't have more than one. Have as many as you want. Are y'all listening to me? This is the reward, God said. It's not the punishment. It's not a burden. Listen to me carefully, parents. Take it from somebody who has raised three. These days are going to be gone. You gripe about the diaper bag. You gripe about the bottles. You gripe about the... I'll be so glad when I don't have to change diapers no more. It's coming. It's coming. It's not going to be long. There won't be a little bitty hand holding your little finger. Dear Lord, I miss that. I miss the first time they looked in my face and said, Daddy, you better enjoy this now. Somebody said the first 5 years of a child's life shapes their entire life. Do you understand what a responsibility God has laid in your hands? Do you understand what a big deal this is? Now we got people having them just to get more welfare. They ought to be slapped. They ought to be jailed. Amen. People don't care no more about their kids than that. Hey, brother, they ought to be punished. It ought to be a crime. Y'all better listen to me. We're dealing with something precious here. This is a gift from God. It's a reward, he said. The fruit of the womb is his reward. My heart breaks for the Eric and Stacy Knights this morning. People who have prayed and fasted and been to doctor after doctor after doctor, and who would be the best parents probably in the world. And for some reason, God has seen fit to leave them childless. And then we've got people who have them by the dozens who don't deserve a single one they've got. What I'm trying to say is children are desirable. It's a wonderful thing that God has put these little lives in your hands to shape and to mold. Amen. People say, well, if we have more than two kids, we're not going to be able to afford the new SUV, and we're not going to be able to afford to have a pool, and we're not going to be able to afford... Listen, the man who has a lot of stuff, we think they're rich. Not according to the Bible. Not according to the Bible. The rich man's the one's got the kids and not the stuff. I got to thinking about that. Now, I got toys, and I love my toys. Amen. My kids are grown and now I can enjoy them. Amen. I love my boat. I took it out and took kids fishing yesterday. Had a great time. Love my little bass boat. Enjoy it. But you know what? When I die, it's not going with me. I love my truck. But when I die, it ain't going with me. I love my horse. And I'm sorry, the horses don't go to heaven when they die. They just rot in the ground. He ain't going with me. The only thing I have on this earth besides my own soul that I can take to heaven with me when I die is my three children. How about that? Won't you look at it in that light? That's the only thing that I have that has eternal value is my babies. And I know they're grown, but they're still my babies and they'll always be my babies. They're going to heaven with me. They're all three sitting here. They're in the service this morning. They're in church this morning. Hallelujah. Somebody's got your family in church. You ought to clap your hand. You ought to say hallelujah. You ought to say thank God. You ought to do something other than nod your pointed head. Amen. It's a blessing. Children got up there and sang this morning. Amen. Katie was on her way home last night and she texted me. When she was little, she'd say, I love you. She always called me Diddy. Diddy. That's where P. Diddy gets his Diddy. D-E-D-D-Y, Diddy. And that's how she spells it today. And when she was little, I'd say, I love you. She said, I love you more. I said, I love you more. She said, because I love you big as the sky. She's grown now. Last night, she's on her way home, and I got a text that said, I love you big as the sky. I wouldn't trade that for a 69 Z28 Camaro. I'm serious, man. The desirability of children. Don't let this world tell you, oh, wait till you can afford. You can never afford. And while they're little, enjoy it. Well, I can't wait till we don't have to buy these diapers. Okay, start paying car insurance. Well, they cheat now. Somebody help me. I said they cheat now. Well, they start running up and down the road, friend. Amen. Where do you start getting them phone calls? Is this Mr. Wyatt? Oh, God. When y'all help me, your son has wrapped a car around a tree. My son totaled 2 vehicles within, what, 3 months? 5 months. Huh? 5 vehicles? 5 months. In less than a half a year, they get more expensive. And if God gave you boys, shout hallelujah. Because it's the bride's family who pays for the wedding. When Ashley got married, it was like, oh boy, we got to plan a wedding. I had no idea. We're going to pay what? I allotted this amount of money about halfway through. Daddy, we're out of money. I should have just said, and I'm telling you, man, don't let this world force you into thinking it's a burden to have children. It's not a burden, it's a blessing. They're the only thing you have that you can take with you when you go to heaven. Amen? That's if you influence that life in the right way. That's if God has been the builder of the home. Amen? When that Philippian jailer got saved, remember he asked Paul and Silas when they'd been singing in the jail and been night, and the jail shook loose and the doors were open and all the prisoners didn't run, they stayed. And that jailer looked at Paul and Silas and said, men and sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I'm glad it didn't stop there. He said, and thy house. Amen. The desirability of children. They're precious. Don't rush these years. Don't rush these years. Enjoy these years. Make time during these years. Amen? Secondly, this morning, I'm going to spend some time right here. I know it's already past your time to get out of church, but I got something to say. We looked at the desirability of children. Now I want you to look with me at verse number 4. I gave this a lot of thought. He said, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Now, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Look back at verse number 3. He said, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. God refers to our children in this verse of Scripture as arrows. Now, I brought one of my toys to church with me this morning. This is my baby. This is my bow. Somebody said, what do you do with it? I kill things. My motto, if it's brown, it's down. Amen. I want to talk about not only the desirability of children, but I want to talk about the directability of children. Now you stay with me just for a minute this morning. This is a fine-tuned machine. And for it to operate properly, it has to stay fine-tuned. This limb has got to be balanced with this limb. In other words, this one cannot be have less torque on it than this one or more than this one. Y'all follow what I'm saying? You know what that's going to be? It's going to be out of balance. And the arrow's not going to fly right. The whole objective for this whole setup is for that arrow to go where it's pointed. So this bow has to be maintained. It has to be cared for. And listen, just like your home, it has to have some balance to it. It can't be all law. I know daddies like that. That's all they do is lay down the law. Bless God, you're going to do this. And why, Daddy? Because I said so. And there's never any love. There's never any compassion. There's never any fun. There's never a friendship between the parent and the child. There's got to be a balance between the two, or the arrow is going to fly crooked. Amen. You understand that? Tell you something else I thought about. Levi told me this morning. How far will this arrow go depends greatly on how far I pull it back. If I want this arrow to go to its full potential and fly with its full speed, I've got to pull it all the way back. In other words, I've got to give it all it's got. You know what our children are crying for? They're crying for mom and dad just to give it all they've got in this thing called parenthood. Quit putting your career above your family. Quit putting your hobbies above your children. Hey, I made that mistake when I was a young man. Don't put anything above raising your family. Pull the bow all the way back. Somebody said, I'm worried about how my children are going to turn out. Well, he mentions the arrows being in a quiver. He said, what was it? He said, happy is a man whose quiver is full of them. Why are these arrows in a protective quiver? To keep them straight. Somebody said, I don't want to shelter my children. You won't go wrong sheltering your children. Somebody said, well, I don't want to force my children to go to church. You force them to go to school. If your kid wakes up in the morning and says, I don't want to go to school. Are you sick? No, I just want to stay home. Ain't nary one of you going to let them. They need some protection. Quit letting the children make the decisions for their life. You're their quiver. You're what's there to protect the point. If I keep this protected and I keep this straight, it does some serious damage. If I shot you in the chest with this morning, and I wouldn't dare dream of that, it wouldn't just stick in you. It would go through you in about a split second and be stuck back under in the wall somewhere. But if I let this thing just be dragged around, lay in the floorboard of my truck, and let these razor blades be dulled, it's not going to do the job it was meant to do. Amen. What are my children going? How are they going to turn out? It's up to you. We like to use this cop-out of, oh, you just do the best you can and pray they turn out right. I don't buy that. I know everybody's individuals and everybody makes individual decisions, but the chances are far greater your children turning out right if you train them right and you protect them. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something else. I wondered a lot in my son's young years if he would live. I wondered the direction he would take in his life. When he was young, he talked about being a Marine. When he got older, he started talking about college and where to go to school. And it dawned on me, if I shoot this arrow, where is it going? It's going whichever direction I point it. Do you understand that? If I shoot this arrow if I aim toward the balcony, that's where this arrow's going. It's going the direction I point it. What direction are you pointing your arrows this morning? What direction are you pointing your children? They need direction from mom and dad. Yes. Levi said, Dad, where should I go to school? What should I do after I graduate? I said, well, son, what has God asked you to do? He said, well, God's called me to preach. Well, what direction do you think you should go? Why is it that so many preachers came from preachers? Sister Edwina told me that she met two of Jonathan McNeese's brothers over the weekend. Brother Jonathan McNeese will be preaching our revival. Brother Jonathan is a pastor. He has brothers, two or three brothers that are pastors, a brother-in-law that is a pastor, a daddy who was a pastor, and a granddaddy who was a pastor. What happened? Somebody started setting up a direction for that young man's life years ago. Give up on this theory of we'll just do best we can, see how they turn out. No, it's our job to shape them. It's our job to aim them in the right direction. Amen. Amen. What have I aimed my children to? I've aimed them towards serving God. If you've got the idea, and I don't want to make you mad this morning, but this probably will, and I'm just going to say it. If you've got the idea that if you make your children go to church when they're little, they'll grow up and hate it, you're an idiot. I've got some proof right here this morning. I was in church every time the doors was open. I'm like the old preacher that said I had a drug problem when I was little. I got drug on visitation on Saturday. I got drug to Sunday school on Sunday morning. I got drug on a bus route. I got drug back to church on Sunday night. I got drug back to church on Wednesday night. I didn't have a say-so in the matter. It was never, "Mama, are we going to church today?" My daughter and her husband are sitting right there. That young man got on my mama's bus, helped her on her bus route at White Oak Springs. He's been in church all his life. He's our pianist. My daughter, sitting right beside him, been in church all her life. My daughter sitting next to her, been in church all her life. And we could go all around this room and show you people who have been in church all their life. They used to tell my mother, "Sandra, you're going to ruin those children. You're going to ruin those children, making them go to church all the time." Did they not? She's paying me no attention whatsoever. You're going to ruin those kids if you drag them to church all the time. You just shouldn't make them go all the time. Yep, she ruined me. Now I go to church more than anybody here. Are y'all okay? Sometimes I'm in church five, six times a week. Oh, man, I got to go. I like it. I love it. This is what God made me to do. This is the direction I was aimed in. Little did I know that all those Saturdays I wanted to be home watching cartoons, but I was out visiting a bus route. I didn't know Mama was aiming the arrow. I don't think Mama knew she was aiming the arrow. She was just taking me along to do what God had called her to do and the burden God had put on her heart. Little did I know I was in Bible school. My mama didn't just run a bus route. She pastored her bus route. She got to be a part of those kids' lives, man. She knew their ups and downs. She knew the bad things and the good things. She counseled with parents, and she held women whose husbands had beat them the night before. And she even brought them into our home. I'm telling you, brother, all that time, Brother Timmy, it was pointing me in the direction that I was going. And I had no earthly idea that I was being aimed in a direction. What direction are we aiming our children? Some are aiming them at a ball field. Some are aiming them at a deer stand. Nothing wrong with a ball field. I like it. Nothing wrong with a deer stand. I love it. But if we teach our children that deer stand's more important than the preaching of the Word of God, guess what they're going to teach their children? And it's going to get weaker and weaker and weaker as the generations go on. So what we've got to do, we've got to lean as far to the right as we can in prayer and hope that they land somewhere in the middle. Amen. Are we okay this morning? Amen. What direction are we pointing our arrows? God has given us those arrows. God has given those children in our life, and it's our job to shape them, to mold them, protect them, and point them in the right way. Amen. The directability of children. Children are very impressionable. When Levi was little, he thought I was the strongest man in the world. I've never told him no different. He believed I could do anything. Now my grandson, I don't know where he's at, he's asleep. My grandson, it's a good thing he's asleep, he won't hear this. He thinks I'm rich. He does. He thinks Papa is loaded. He wanted something at the store the other day. His mama told him, said, son, we don't have the money. He said, tell Papa he has lots of money. Did he get what he was asking for? How can you not after that, man? They're impressionable. They're easy to mold. They're easy to shape. I never one time set my son down and told him how to be a good husband. Not one time. Never did I sit down before he got married and said, now look, bud, as a husband, you're going to need to do this and do this and do that. I never told him that. Is he decent husband? Decent, she said. She did like this, I think. No, he's a good husband. Is she a good wife, Brother Todd? We never one time sat her down and taught her wife lessons. We didn't have to. They had a model or a mold to look at. You want your children, these babies, to grow up one day, walk down this aisle and take a young man or a young woman by the hand and make some vows and start a life together. The life they start is going to be the one you molded it into. Are we okay with that? Levi's very affectionate to his wife. In other words, they smooch a lot. I don't know where he got that. What he used to think was gross, catch him. What he used to think was gross, now he's all into. Amen. They're gonna go the direction we point them, most likely. And they're most likely going to turn out to be about what we are. The kind of husband they're going to be, sir, may determine on the kind of husband you are. The kind of mom and the kind of wife they are, ma'am, is probably going to determine a lot on the kind of wife and the kind of mother you are. They're going to treat their children like you treat yours. Amen. Would y'all agree to that? I'd say that's pretty much the norm, wouldn't you? These children are directable. They're not just left to happenstance. We have some key roles to play right here. Listen, parents used to bring children when we had our Christian school. They would bring 16-year-olds in my office who had been kicked out of a public school for various reasons. And here's the attitude, fix it. I didn't break it. Our job is to assist you, not to replace you. And I say that again. The church's job is to assist you, not to replace you. The church's job is to help guide you as you guide them, not to replace you in that child's life. At 16, it's too late. You're 16 years, 170 pounds, too late. Are we okay? Man, y'all got an opportunity to do something that many in this room have missed. They're still little. There's still hope and there's still help. Make sure you are directing them in the right direction. Don't ask them, would you like to go to church today? One lady told me this on visitation that used to come to our church, and I just stopped by to see them wondering why they hadn't been coming. And they said, well, we've been going over, and they didn't even want to tell me where, but they did. And I said, well, why would you leave our church and go there? She said, well, we know they don't have the right Bible, but the kids really like the music. I said, yeah, and they'd probably like ice cream for supper every night too. Y'all okay? They'd probably just rather have a popsicle for breakfast. Y'all okay? Why is it we let them take the most vital and critical decisions of their life and put it in a 10-year-old's hands? Give them dynamite, they'll blow themselves up. They need us. They need you. The directability of children. Which way is your arrow going? You have a say-so in that matter. Yes, sir. Will it hit its mark? Did you know God has a will for their life? Already, while you hold them in your arms, God knows what their future is supposed to be. And they'll find that future, and they'll find that mark, they'll find the will of God if we direct them while we have them now. Amen? Amen. Lastly, and I'm done. Last verse. Happy. I like that word. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Now watch this last part. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. Listen to me carefully. We talked about the desirability of children, the directability of children. Let me close with this. The dependability of children. The dependability of children. Listen, when that arrow is properly polished, when it's correctly pointed and it's propelled, when they sent out from home, they're going to find contentment and they're going to find peace and they're going to find the will of God. They're going to find their mark. Amen. The dependability. In other words, if I do what I'm supposed to do, I can count on God doing what He's supposed to do. I never worried one time whether or not my children would be saved. I never worried about that. I prayed for their salvation, but I just kept pointing them in the right direction. I just kept pointing them toward it, looking forward to the day when they'd trust Christ with their heart and invite Him into their heart. I didn't doubt. I didn't think, oh Lord, what am I going to do if my son never gets saved? I didn't doubt that. Why? I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I've got him under the preaching of the Word of God. We've got peace and harmony in the home. We've got everything going in the right direction. I can depend on God to get him where he needs to be. Amen. Our problem is we got too much trust in the flesh and we got too much trust in ability and what we've learned from watching Oprah. Yeah. Somebody will shout right there. Yeah. What we've learned from listening to Dr. Phil. And we're trying to raise our homes and our children on that philosophy and it's falling apart at the seams. Amen. I just know in my heart, this is simple, I know, but I am. I'm just simple. I'm just country. I can't help it. I'm just simple-minded enough to know that if I'll do what God said, and if I'll just be obedient to what God said, God will be obedient to what He said. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Don't spank that child. Spank him or visit him in jail. Yeah. Somebody help me right there. Yeah. Let me teach you another good word for child rearing. Hickory. Yeah. And I ain't talking about smoking barbecue. I'm talking about smoking hind section. Amen. Y'all all right? Yes, sir. So a lady told me in our school one time, we don't spank our children. I went, I know. That's why I have to here. Are y'all okay? Do what God said do. The Bible said if you beat him, you won't kill him. Didn't it? He said you deliver his soul from hell. How about that? Boy, that ain't real popular. The grandparents ain't liking this. You whip their mama and daddy. My mama said, don't whip that baby. I thought, you hypocrite. You beat me till the smoke alarm went off. I got this going down the road. Anybody? I wanted to sit in the back seat on that side. Just out of reach. I could do like this. Don't dare sit in the front seat. Pam would holler, shotgun, I'm the hippie self. Fat. They'll grow up with a complex. Yeah, a complex, they can do whatever they want and there's no consequence for it. If we'll do what God said do, God will do what He said He'd do. Yes, amen. Listen, what is an arrow for? It just hit me this morning. Now, in our day and time, it's for hobby, it's for sport, it's for hunting. I shoot these at deer. But when this was written, its primary use was to shoot at the enemy. It was a weapon of war. I don't know if you've noticed, but we are in a war. Our homes are in a war. Now these babies that we're fixing to pray over, just here in just a moment. One of these days, they're going out into a real world. And there's going to be everything you can imagine hurled at their lives. Drugs, alcohol, pervertedness, adultery. You name it, it's going to be thrown at them. We're going to need some straight arrows. My job was to raise my children and prepare them to meet the enemy. And they've each one had to face it in some way, shape, or form. Amen? There's a lot of enemies that wants to destroy our homes. If not by the grace of God, some of these babies are going to grow up without one of you. Is that okay to put it that way? If not, but for the grace of God, some of these babies are going to grow up visiting these daddies every other weekend. I'm done preaching. I just want you to know that's not God's will. Somebody sat across from my desk a while back and they said, we think it's best we just divorce. I thought, did you ask your children what they thought? I don't think you'd ever find a four-year-old say, yeah, I want daddy to move. Y'all okay? The desirability of children. The directability of children. The dependability of children. There's nothing that thrills my heart more than to hear my boy preach. Amen. He could preach unsound doctrine and I'd be saying, amen. No, I'm heresy. Man, that's my kid. And he's going the direction I pointed him so far. Flying pretty straight. Maybe a crook here and there, but well, that's a blessing. I love it when Todd and Ashley and Katie and Levi and Cora all sing together. Man, that's my babies. And there's something inside my heart, boy, it just does a double take. They could be anywhere. Ashley's grown and Levi's grown and Katie's grown. They could go to church anywhere they want. But they're here this morning. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. Which way is your arrow pointed? Is it pointed at the things of God? Or is it aimed at the things of the world? Because when you let go of that string, that's exactly where it's going. And once it leaves the string, once it leaves the bow, once this knock, this little split on the end, once it jumps off that string, you can't get it back. It's gone. Hey, several bow hunters in our church, and y'all know what I'm talking about. You've hit the trigger on your release, and as soon as you did, you knew you messed up. You knew you didn't even have to wait for the arrow to hit the target. You knew you made a bad shot. But once you pull that trigger, it's over. It's gone. We're here for advice. We're here to help. But they're grown. The arrow's done jumped off the string. I'm just praying we pointed it in the right direction. And I believe we did. Let's stand to our feet this morning.